This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Thursday night. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. You know, it's been getting close to back to school here for me. So I've been, you know, really organizing and planning and preparing to shift from summer schedule to fall full swing next week. So, you know, it's Thursday. Excited. This will be probably one of the, if not the last Thursday, I'll do the show from my home studio. I'll be in my classroom. We're going to have classroom studio maybe next week, for sure the week after, but we'll
I was getting concerned there when you said last. I'm like, wait, hold on. Last nothing.
No, I was going to announce my retirement.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, no, none such thing. None such thing. Just a little shift in venues coming up because I will be back in the classroom this fall and in full swing in 2 weeks and, you know, setting things up next week.
Yeah.
And then with students.
Getting ready. Yep. Hey, the number is 855-752-4842. Call us right away. If you're watching us on the YouTube, if you're watching us on Facebook, if you're watching us on the Twitter X, you can also text in at any time. Did you like that, Jess?
I like that X? You use the Twitter, the YouTube, the Facebook.
You know, hey, got to make it, you know, a little friendly. Johnny, though, tomorrow, Friday, August 9th at 5 p.m. Central is the deadline to register to vote in person before Election Day at your municipal clerk's office. If you are unable to register to vote by tomorrow, Wisconsin is a same-day register and vote state, so please register at your polling location on August 13th. Wisconsin's fall primary election is August 13th. Make a plan and vote in this and every election. Do your civic duty to find out what's on your ballot and where to cast it. Go to myvote.wi.gov. And if you're thinking about where should I get some great advice on, or just counseling, or just camaraderie around voting, I know a great place in Madison where they have some of the greatest beverages, Johnny Lupinacci, that if you wanted to sit down and say, you know what, before we go vote, let's hoist one up and talk about to the future of this democracy. Where would that be, Johnny Lupinacci?
I mean, I know where I'd go. I don't necessarily know that I'd go there for my counseling. I go to a therapist and a counselor for that, but or to make the decisions about my vote. And if I knew where I was going, I'd go there after.
Okay.
Celebrate with my friends. Or if I had, like you said, good questions and maybe seek advice or voting counsel. Get brought up to speed on the issues. I'm sure there are like-minded political folks hanging out at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company. You know, beyond being political, you know what's special about those guys, Tim?
What's that,
they're
Johnny?
Big-time supporters of public education. I mean, Kirk there even went as far as to sue the state of Wisconsin to end voucher systems. Those are defenders of public education over there. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinoccaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And you can, like Tim said, you can hoist one up with good fellows, good friends, good folk, and enjoy the rest of your summer as it's waning away to fall. But don't worry, because there's plenty of good folks around in fall, and the beer never stops getting poured there. You know, so speaking of that, listener, Tim and I, we have been going back and forth, and really excited, jubilant yesterday with Educators Amplified. And we've been talking about the excitement of the Harris-Walz ticket. It doesn't seem to get any less exciting. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. And we're going to talk about that on two fronts. One, we've mentioned in the last few shows, and L.A. Tom, one of our regular callers, listeners out there, you know, you've heard L.A. Tom calling, has brought up FDR's, agenda and his commitment to, you know, reviving an economy. and he's brought up FDR like vibes, says there's a lot of resonance to an FDR era. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We'll do a little social studies lesson tonight on the Economic Bill of Rights, is its nerdy official name. and I like the more colloquial modern version, Second Bill of Rights. Let's go round two, 2.0, baby.
Nice.
Second Bill of Rights. We'll get into that tonight. Tim and I, a couple of social studies teachers ourselves,
hey, you know,
pumped. So we'll carry that out. But Tim, I got a question for you, man.
All right.
You know what we haven't talked about, and probably you and I and Jess, we've talked off the air about it. And,
yeah,
and small talk is an important thing in community. And this isn't exactly small talk. I mean, this is social studies talk. This is geography talk. This is sports talk. When you talk Olympics, man, we haven't chopped it up about the Olympics at all on Busted Pencils. And we know, Tim, we've said, both of us big sports fans, both coaches, both interested in, you know, youth programming in this country and really around the world. So, man, I got to ask you and Jess, like, are you watching the Olympics? How's it going? What's your favorite moment or event been?
So I got to put it to you this way. This is the first year that I haven't been able to officially watch because my streaming service, you know, I don't pay for the Peacock, you know, I just do not pay for the Peacock. So I get my Olympics in news in spurts. And I got to tell you, I mean, everything, Simone Biles, you know, watching the field hockey players today, again, going like, how the heck did they even hit that thing with that tiny little type of, you know, stick? It doesn't look like the hockey stick I use, Johnny. But man, I got to tell you, you know, as much as I love all the excitement, all the gold medals, all of this, I love the little short stories. And I was able to catch one of those. And my favorite one, though, I'm telling you, is watching Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart watching horse dancing.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that's been amazing.
That sounds really so cool. Joyful.
I know, it's just so joyful because you just watch this and genuinely watching Snoop Dogg looking at these dancing horses, which if you watch this, there's an absolute amazement that a rider with the inner thigh pressures that they put on this to get a horse to do those different things with their legs, the trotting and stuff like that. And then him and Martha, it's a wonderful programming bit to just look at, you know, first of all, two people who you go, Martha Stewart, Snoop Dogg. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome duo. But then truly, genuinely appreciating the artistry of horse dancing. I just feel like that's a moment where I went, yeah, just joyful again.
There you go, Tim. Little known fact, little trivia that I'll just throw out there. I'm terrified of horses. I don't really like, I mean,
that's
I'm
what, okay. That's what Snoop said. Snoop I said am, the same I, thing. He's like, he's terrified.
I mean, I can watch every them, time fast. I see a horse, how big they are.
Yeah. And so that's been fun. And this is reminding me, my kids always give me a hard time about being, you know, less invested in streaming and services and being a regular TV guy. And I haven't figured out how to make like the Hulus and all the things work for my sports obsessions. Oh. I mean, and so I'm slow to the coming around on, you know, different services and streamings. I have like as close to terrestrial TV as exists, you know? So I'm like, wait, you don't have NBC?
Because you got some rabbit ears.
I mean, you just put on NBC any time of day right now. And if it's not, you know, local news or interruption, it's the Olympics and primetime in Paris has been awesome. And seeing, I love, you know, that a whole SNL cast or at least a big group of them have joined the announcing team for NBC. And so they're commentating. They're part of the things. It's been great. I mean, so many moments. I just love sports, you know, and seeing Serbia almost beat the United States in basketball today, to see the USA men's basketball team be pushed to come from behind to make a big victory. I mean, these are huge moments after, you know, decades of dominating in the Olympics, probably even longer than decades, right, since the Dream Team. But so many big moments. Women's water polo today going into a double shootout. Of course, they lost. But I mean, it's just been to see excellence on the stage like that from young people. And I even consider, I mean, I'm not that old, but I even consider the older group of really impressive athletes like Simone Biles, who's, I think, 27 years old. I mean, impressive what all these people are doing as experts. That's like, you know, you see the hard work that they put in and all around the world. So I also get stoked, Tim, because as social studies teachers, during the Olympics is when we get to do so much like real-time world geography.
World geography right there, man.
Cultures. Every sixth grade social studies teacher out there knows, oh, man, that's the curriculum is world cultures, you know, and geography. And so it's exciting to talk about it. My kids are about tired of the embedded social studies lesson. Every single time a new country comes up, I say, well, do you know what kind of government that country has? You happen to know, you know, their history, what their capital is. And they're just like, enough already. But it's
dad, stop.
I say, you'll thank me later. And their eyes go up like, will we actually thank you later? But, you know, I love the Olympics, Tim. That's how much, though, that we haven't been talking about it as much as I love it, as much as I know you and I talk about sports. This energy around our democracy, it's connected to this because forms of government certainly are connected to the Olympics, but it's important to talk about the things we've been hitting on. I mean, we've been excited.
We've just been so excited, you know, and you say just coming off and just put it in there. Yeah. You know, the horse dancing and Snoop and Martha made me joyful, but it's that joyfulness that keeps carrying through the week of realizing, as you said, Johnny, our democracy. And again, just the switch from Biden to Harris and then Harris now and all the anticipation of a vice president and then Waltz making social studies teaching great again, which is why we're here tonight, just celebrating social studies teachers. But then the week, Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom, you guys started talking off with weird. And then Tuesday, we actually celebrated Waltz as the pick. And then last night with Educators Amplified to watch Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna say, wow, I feel like they can catch what's happening, man. And then you say, Johnny, the Olympics, I got to put in there for the Olympics. I am always amazed when I, quote, see distance runners and I think they're sprinting and they're truly distance running. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They've been running that pace for that long? Oh, busted pencils, man. You see how much longer we can keep running when we come back. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. You can give us a call on the Twitter X, on the Facebook, on the YouTube. You can text in, you know. I'm just sitting there going, it's like, when are we going to get, you know, Sherry must be in class late tonight again because we didn't get the what's up guys from Sherry and Horicon. We're waiting for you, Sherry, but we'll let you be in class, I guess. Johnny, though, man, coming in, yeah, the Olympics, everything that's happening. Tim Waltz, social studies teachers, Johnny, that's what we're celebrating social studies teaching tonight and saying we are coming into this episode tonight with a little bit of a social studies lesson, kind of bringing up L.A. Tom reminding us all the time or wanting this whole idea of an FDR Democrat and making that connection to potentially Tim Waltz and the thing Tim Waltz has been saying. And Johnny, you kind of position that and saying, okay, in fact, it was a speech at the 1944 State of the Union where FDR delivered what then was called the Economic Bill of Rights. And then, as you said, now got turned more into, and more powerfully maybe, the Second Bill of Rights. You know what, though, Johnny? People are like, Bill of Rights, Bill of Rights. What was the first Bill of Rights? I think we got to start with a little background information,
Let's back it up, right? Right. The political rights guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, right? Right. Those are two really important, you know, things we have to talk about. But you know what I want to know, though, Tim, is like how far do we want to back it up? Like we could go talking about it. Talking was an Olympic sport.
Well, we're
talking about the Bill of Rights for a really long time, but should we give the really consents?
Just a quick, you know, just to recognize that the first Bill of Rights, too, and you know, you think about that, those first amendments, those first 10 amendments.
Yeah.
You remember that. Right. Those first 10 amendments. You know what, too? You know what my favorite of the 10 amendments are? And there's Sherry right there. Thanks, Sherry. Good evening, friends. We're so glad now I feel complete and can continue with the show. I like Amendment 10. You know why I like Amendment 10? It's because on Constitution Day in 2004, when they celebrated the first Constitution Day, I took my social studies method students and staged a protest. We protested Constitution Day saying it was unconstitutional. And you know why we said it was unconstitutional? Because it says in their Amendment 10, read it again, if it's not covered in this, it falls to the states. And in the states, there is no such thing as a Constitution Day. So therefore, we could not. So Amendment 10, read it again. Amendment 10, read it again. So
You guys were chanting that, huh?
We were chanting out in front of the chancellor's office on a Penn State campus. We were protesting Constitution Day. How much more constitutional and democratic can you get than protesting Constitution Day?
Yeah, and it makes sense, right? So 10th Amendment, and should we, I don't think we need to run through them all, but the first 10. So for folks, the Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. And this, to credit it, you know, to give credit where credit ought to be due to how I say it got later renamed and brought up and analyzed by Cass Sunstein, sort of an effort of a revival of FDR's unfulfilled, you know, proposition that we needed an economic Bill of Rights. But this is a timely moment, and certainly conditions are reminiscent for people in America, especially the working class, you know, like dwindling middle class. And as we don't really joke about it, but we reference it often, you know, in politics and culture, it is not easy to make ends meet in this country. And I'm not saying it should be easy, like, hey, you shouldn't have to work hard. But, you know, I think it's really important to remember that if you don't have a livable community, an affordable community, you don't have access to employment that allows the right for the pursuit of happiness, right, and the liberty to live in a safe community and be able to afford that while working hard, then you've got problems and you've got growing poverty. And we certainly have an enormous amount of growing poverty in this country. So FDR, right, you mentioned, gave that State of the Union address in January 1944 and really talked about that he believed that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as it existed, right, proved inadequate to assure equality in the pursuit of happiness. And he proposed what he called at the time the Economic Bill of Rights, which, let's put it out there, and we'll get to calling it the Second Bill of Rights. Mm. It didn't ever actually happen, but it's been a guide for a lot of politicians. And bonus out there for a recent, more modern politician for whom this is a stalwart text. Mm. But the Second Bill of Rights basically covered an economic right to work, an adequate income for food, shelter, and recreation, farmers' rights to fair income, freedom from unfair competition and monopolies, decent housing, adequate medical care, social security, and education.
Mm.
It's like these are the things that Tim Walz seems to have an amazing record on, and seems as me putting up some scare quotes for people watching the stream. He really does. He's been a champion of these things. He didn't call them that, but really that's the essence of this. He is a champion of those things. And the critique of him, and Tim, you brought this up before the show, you were saying, hey, you know, there is a thoughtful critique of politicians like Tim Walz. the critique of that is certainly that coming from a, I'll call it a mindful conservative, that's saying, hey, I actually believe it's everyone's individual responsibility to compete for those things. If that's your belief, we can respectfully have a conversation. I understand that this is the antithesis of that. We are saying that in such a, you know, in such a second version of the Bill of Rights, or an addition to our Constitution of Bill of Rights, adding these in, that we believe it's the responsibility of a government to provide for its people these things, an education, an opportunity for meaningful work, and at a wage that makes life, housing, you know, recreation, healthcare, all of these things affordable. So yes, that's sometimes called as like socialist democracy, or, you know, a socialist leaning democracy, not communism. Most communist experiments have had a dictator.
Absolutely.
Far from that. Although it does put more responsibility on government and government, you know, not giving to its people. Cause remember, we're government for the people, by the people. Cause we give, like, we are the strength of that, but it's those rights, those beliefs that become infrastructure in our communities and our government. So we'll come back to that. So stay with us. More on Busted Pencils.
Busted Pencils, the music. Yes, of course you love the music. You like Tim, Johnny, and Jess, though, too, because we are fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Share a little bit of text from Jim from Appleton, referring back to Johnny in the last segment. Johnny, I like and appreciate that you said most communist experiments had a dictator. In fact, I cannot think of one that doesn't or didn't. However, I'm not a social studies expert. Please enlighten me. So we were doing that a little bit during break. And Jim, I think though you're texting, you were probably paying attention to that. So we're kind of like with you on that one, Jim, right? When it comes to, quote, fully like a state authorized communism, there might be some practices. And Jess, I made reference that saying there are some communities, is that maybe a better way to say it? Communities,
yeah,
in Israel under the kibbutz.
Correct.
That has, where people would say that's a communism.
Right. And they're, for the most part, a lot of the kibbutzim today are not really acting in a sort of communist society, but at the beginning they absolutely were, where it was everything is shared. The communities would have some type of economic production that they'd had, and it was from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. And like I said over break, some of them were very much to the far extremes of communism, where everything is shared, from housing, sleeping, eating, children. You know, you raise your children in a group. Then a lot of them were just sort of more like isolated communities.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I say, Tim, I reference it as most just because I think we could say in all instances where a government or a nation formally identified as communist,
right,
it has a dictator. And that's linked to the dictatorship of the proletariat is an aspect of, you know, emerging from the Communist Manifesto and from Karl Marx. The part of that political pathway is that the organizing of the masses requires a dictatorship of the proletariat. Problematic for me,
yeah,
and most people who are defenders of democracy, not because We don't think a government should be responsible for its people, and that people of that government should contribute to it. It may be a social democracy or a socialist sort of framework. I think that's important to point out for listener or for learner out there. This, we're really kind of comparing decentralized decision making of democracy, where everybody's voice is valued and it's, and has a responsibility to be participating in the decision making, versus a centralized form of governance, which is decisions are moved really far away from the people and centralized into either like a few leaders or a leader, a king, a queen, a dictator, that kind of stuff. And so communist nations that have formally identified as that, I agree with our text in, you know, to my knowledge, those have all had dictators and have functioned under a dictatorship, which is a centralized authority. Right. So that's different than I just throw most out there because there are experiments around the world all the time and in communities that are influenced by communism for sure. And I don't want to digress too much, because just the point of that being, sometimes those aspects that I brought up from an FDR's proposal to work towards a second Bill of Rights, as Cass Sunstein named it. And then I mentioned a more contemporary politician who brought that, you know, with him to the White House. I'll spill the beans on that right now, was Barack Obama and his administration were firm believers and influenced heavily by FDR's, you know, economic Bill of Rights, or Cass Sunstein's writing of it as the second Bill of Rights. But I brought this up and got on this sort of tangent here because the critique of it is often that, hey, that sounds communist, and it's absolutely not, although communist experiments do provide those things, but through a dictatorship. And that's obviously not democracy. My personal political beliefs on that is it's not the route I would like to see a nation I'm in go. I like democracy. I believe that people have the capacity to do great for one another. We also have capacity to do harm for one another. So governments play, you know, an important role in providing sort of the infrastructure and opportunity and sort of setting the rules, like say, hey, we can coexist together in community in a way where, let's just put it out there, you'd never really ought to be falling too far, right? The things you'd have to do to fall pretty far is to be really harmful toward yourself or those in your community, you know, or, you know, I can imagine instances of practicing violence or use of drugs, which is a form of self-violence. These things could, you know, put you out of that care that government provides. So it's not a universal, hey, this is just for everybody. You get it. You have to work hard. You have to be part of community. You have to participate. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. And that's that piece around equality. So that's a strong democracy. And I got on a little bit of a tangent.
Hey, you did.
But the great text then. Whoa, there it is. And that tangent took us right to the bell. Well, you know what the bell signifies every day here on Busted Pencils? It lets us know that it is time for a democracy in action. Tonight's democracy in action. You know what, Tim? It goes to all of those people out there, especially our athletes, you know, participating in the Olympics are a great example of this, but all the people in this country who practice the pursuit of happiness and their liberty, right? Those are core democratic values, pursuit of happiness and liberty. And Tim, you brought up in this episode, you talked about, you know, when you're supportive of things like the Bill of Rights and then this notion for a second Bill of Rights, these additional necessary, you know, like bullet points for a government to be responsible for. And you said, you know, just the right to be a human. Well, right. Part of core democratic values is the right to life. Each citizen has a right to the protection of his or her life. That's our education, our access to affordable medical care, right? That's our housing. That's all of these things.
Food.
Yeah, that also exists on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Exactly.
So if we think about FDR in 1944, this is pre-signing the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which the United States has not been signatory nor ratifying of. But right. The world had said, hey, you know what? As a global community, we can do a lot better. And the Universal Declaration of Human Rights further breaks down what FDR, I think, succinctly threw into some additional bills, some additions to the Bill of Rights. I love it, Tim. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Tonight's Democracy in Action goes to all those athletes out there who, you know, followed their dreams, who worked really hard. I don't think anybody watching any of these athletes compete from anywhere where they're at in the world, but especially from the United States, can say, man, you know, these people had a free ride the whole way. I mean, they work incredibly hard and they follow their dreams. And I think it's a great example of democracy in action, their pursuit of happiness, their right to being able to be passionate about something. Like, I watched this this track and field event the other day. I'd never seen it before in my life, and I'm a sports enthusiast. It's called, what is it called? The steeplechase. Is that right? They
jump
over hurdles into puddles of water. I'm like, come on, this is insane. This is cool. But I mean, I watched speed walking the other night. I thought to myself, what, how do you do this? And it's hard work. It's people who are passionate about that. I watched your rhythmic gymnastics earlier today for a little bit. And I'm just like, wow, this is not the kind of hula hooping we did outside with our hula hoops.
You should see what I do with that little spinny streamer thing when I go out here, you know, move around.
Get some Rise Against playing, and you can go
little Rise, Against with my streamer back there doing some cartwheels with a flag trailing behind me. That is not something anybody should have to see. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, 855-752-4842, making social studies teaching great again. That's what we're doing here tonight. We got on the phone, though, our friend L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom wants to talk a little bit about those second Bill of Rights. L.A. Tom, what's happening, our friend?
Absolutely. FDR was the president, as far as I'm concerned, the best president ever. I believe in the second Bill of Rights. It's what he wanted to do. I wish that when Bernie Sanders ran, I wish he would have ran as a finishing the job of FDR. And going that route with it, unfortunately, he got caught up, I think, in the socialist label without pushing back. But I'll tell you what, I know Busted Pencils is so popular around the whole, really the world, as we know in Finland and places like that through the Civic Media app and the Busted Pencils Twitter page and everything like that, that I'm hoping that the Harris and Walz campaign are hearing this, but I would like them to be calling themselves joyous democracy warriors, not just joyous warriors, but joyous democracy warriors. And that really, really excites me, because I think they are all about democracy, and we have got to put the opposite. We have got to put it out there that the difference between this election is either democracy or authoritarian dictatorship.
Absolutely.
L.A. Tom, hey, there it is. You go ahead, Johnny.
I was going to say, too, Tom, if you have a second and he's still on the line. Tom, you've been following the Olympics at all. What's your favorite part of the Olympics?
Yeah, I have been following the Olympics. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong when you're watching, you know, the gymnastics. I mean, to me, it's just... Yeah. It's just amazing how high up, you know, Simone Biles can get from just off the ground. It's like she's, I mean, talk about Michael Jordan. My God, she's like right there with him. But want to say one other thing, if I could.
Go.
Two great things that Coach Walz said this past week. One is, I learned the art of compromise without compromising my values. And that is so important, because we hear all the time, Democrats are the ones that compromise. If they're the ones that are supposed to compromise. Well, a lot of times they compromise themselves right out of deals that actually hurt we the people, because they're just compromising to compromise. And I loved what he said, the learn the art of compromise without compromising my values. And of course, I'd love to mind your own damn business as well. But I just think that that's what we all need to start learning, is that you can compromise with people, but you don't have to compromise your values. And what's happened in this country is that there are great programs like Social Security, Medicare, and all those different things. And we've compromised ourselves where all of a sudden the program's not doing as well. And then all of a sudden Republicans say the program doesn't work. We need to get rid of it. We need to privatize it, whatever it might be. And I don't think Tim Walz did that. I think he talks in an FDR type way without getting that label put on him, which they're going to put on everybody anyway. But he actually talks policy along with Kamala Harris.
Absolutely. L.A. Tom right there. I love to Coach Walz. You put that there too. I love that. You know, yeah, let's refer to him as Coach Walz, social studies teacher, bringing up, you know, truly digging deep, Second Bill of Rights, Economic Bill of Rights, FDR's State of the Union, 1944, bringing this in. And Johnny, you know, when we, I know we're it's not going yet, but I just, what you talked about too, how this, the guarantee of a human, and what does it mean to be human? And this goes back to my early, early days. And I know Jess loves the way I say human. I'm supposed
to. Human.
Hey, the H is silent in the phonics classes that I had.
It's all about those phonics, eh?
Hey, you know, and I wasn't using context clues because, well, those are illegal right now. It's Busted Pencils, 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom, always love when you call. Yeah, and man, I tell you what, just pointing out that the height that these gymnasts get, it is absolutely something where you sit there and go, my God, how is that possible for a human to do that like that? Well, you know what? Maybe we'll ask that question. Maybe you can call us. Let's see what happens.
Circumcised society. USA. Dined and dished. Fox reports. Poor and super rich.
We call it America. Whoa. 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 We call it America.
I can see your smile. I can see your smile shine so brightly through the window.
I love seeing that smile, Jess, especially yours. It is awesome. You did that big smile. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Thursday, a little bit of Olympics, but then social studies lesson. Second Bill of Rights. Well, actually, the Economic Bill of Rights. FDR's State of the Union, 1944. And Johnny, you know, when you read through these, and it's interesting to see how there's a debate on this one, because as we teach, this is the other thing that you and I teach, Johnny, we teach new teachers, getting them ready. You know, it's like education 101 teachers. What does a child need to be successful? And we bring up and we show them through Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which lays out saying that you have to have food, you have to have clothing, you have to have shelter, because without those basic needs, those Maslow's hierarchy of needs, everything else above that is impossible. That self-actualization, critical thinking, participation. When I look at the Second Bill of Rights, I see Maslow's hierarchy of needs all through this language. And man, that's when I bring it back to my future social studies teachers, that's how I'm always making the connection to them, is saying, remember when you were first starting out learning to be a teacher, and in your Ed Psych class or in your Ed Foundations class, you learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I'm like, hey, dig into these Economic Bill of Rights, this Second Bill of Rights. What do you see? And all the time, Johnny, they're able to draw that comparison, go, oh my God, Dr. Slucker, you're right.
Yeah, and it also recenters education back on us. Remember, this is Busted Pencils, fully led education talk for educated educators talking education. You know, it is political and government responsibility to strong education. And that's, let's do some contrast. That's contrast with, you know, at least on this ticket, a Republican Party that wants to do away with that government responsibility. They want that fully privatized and, you know, and to be individual competition based.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different than saying, hey, a strong education system is a bedrock of our democracy. It is one that is how we underwrite and insure and invest in not only the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, but like items like this second Bill of Rights or what FDR proposed in 1944, right, as the economic Bill of Rights. You know, and as we segue that back into why we're so excited about Harris and Walz right now, is we're talking about a fellow social studies teacher L.A. Tom called him Coach Walz, and we've been, you know, emphasizing those aspects of it. But one of my favorite parts of this week, Jess, I think we can wrap up tonight's show sort of ending on this sentiment. We got a lot coming up, and we'll close down. But before we do, I just want to say one of the inspiring moments I had listening to the Tim Walz stuff was how he was inspired to make that move from the classroom and coaching and his community role, you know, and his responsibilities as a father and a participant in the local economy to being a political leader. Jess, you have that clip where he credits his inspiration?
Let's
run that clip.
My students are the ones who encouraged me to run for office. I never thought much about it. But they saw in me what I hope to instill in them, a commitment to the common good, a true belief that one person truly can make a difference in their world.
Mm. Yeah, and I love it because we just talked about it, Tim. We talked about how we prepare teachers, how we are teachers. We know we have listeners out there who are teachers. We have educators amplified every week. They're teachers. We have guests on who are teachers or leaders of teachers in some capacity. I mean, this is education talk.
Absolutely.
So we're on the ground with the teachers. Well, every teacher, just a reminder, right? Our classrooms are microcosms of democracy.
Mm.
And young people experience that. They believe in it. They see that their voice matters, that they're valued, that they have a responsibility to participate, and that everything is towards the common good, you know? And they lifted up, they pushed and lifted up our now candidate for Vice President Tim Walz. So every teacher, just a little reminder, that work you're doing to have a democratic classroom to honor the humans, I emphasize Tim's pronunciation of that, is not only instilling democracy into their futures, but their belief that it's not only possible, but it's probable and it's worthy of taking action on. So great work there. I love that clip.
Hey, I know.
Before we part ways, though, hopefully we have plenty of opportunity to hoist up some brews soon, Tim.
Yes, and, sir.
I just want to say a shout out to Minocqua Brewing Company. I mean, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. So check them out, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can maybe grab your own six pack or a couple brews from their progressive beer lineup.
Loving that progressive beer. And Johnny, man, I can't believe another show this quickly, man. We barely got to everything. Just though, you know, again, just another opportunity for a did you know? And in fact, there'll be a big did you know tomorrow, because you know what tomorrow is, Friday, Tim's trivia. Did you know? Okay.
Uh-oh.
But another did you know that you put in here, and it made me think about this, is that within somebody who might say there is no second Bill of Rights. Okay. Well, you're right. But when you say a right to, you know, points out that in education, and people are like, hey, you know what? So Amendment 10 says if it's not here, refer to the state constitution, and all 50 state constitutions absolutely say that an education is the responsibility of that government. And so anyone who tries to talk about these things as these aren't really covered, sorry, education is, and that's what we do here all the time. We're educated educators talking education. And we got to bring this stuff up all the time so that people don't forget. And Johnny, you again reminding people too. I just love that. Those kindergartners that are going into those public schools, you're like, oh, they're learning their phonics. They're learning this. They're learning democracy. That's their first engagement to practice being democratic citizens. First grade, second grade, third grade, all the way up. Yes, it's about the academics, but it's that democracy in action. Man, tomorrow night, TGIBPF, and Tim's Trivia, and, oh, just so much more. See y'all tomorrow night.